get the meeting started. As far as role, do you want me to go through role, or do you, have we recorded that? I know that.
Mike, everyone has to identify themselves and their title.
Okay.
This is Denise.
So what is the best way to do that, Denise? Just to ask folks one by one to do that? Or do you want me to call roll?
Probably calling roll is the easiest, and then ask anybody else to identify themselves who you don't have on the roll.
Okay. So if I'm looking at the attendee list correctly, it looks like as far as board members go, I've got Peter Lacy.
Yep, here.
And it looks like Mark Varholak is rejoined.
I am here, even though you butchered my last name.
Which means you'll be leaving shortly, I'm sure.
I wouldn't do that to you.
Thank you for joining, and I apologize for being tongue-tied. And so is it then just the three of us, it looks like? Does that look great?
I think, Sherry, are you there as well?
Yes, Sherry is, Melhat is here.
Okay, oh, Barbara Rubin? Barbara Rubin? I guess not. I think that might be it for committee members. Are there any other board members on the call? Lawrence, Barbara Lindsay, Estella Lopez, Susan Martin? Okay, so I think we're all set with a roll call for board members. Denise, do we need to have Chifa attendees identify themselves as well?
Yes, you do.
All right. Mike, do you want to do that roll call, or should I keep going?
I'm happy to do it.
All right, go for it.
All right, here we go. Jeanette Walden?
Yes, I'm here.
Great. Michael Morris? Michael Morris?
Yep, I'm here. I'm sorry. I'm here.
Thank you. Denise Aguilera?
Here.
Cynthia Peoples?
Yes, I'm present.
Joanne Makowitz?
Yes, I'm here.
Deborah Galley?
I'm here.
Kara Stewart?
I'm here.
Rob Blake?
I'm here.
Anthony Weldon?
That's Jeanette. That's me.
I've never seen that name before. I apologize. Eileen Brown?
Okay. I'm here. Eileen is here.
Great, thank you. Anyone else I'm missing from Chief of Staff? Great. Any other guests on the line that I might be missing? Super. I think we're all set, Denise.
Great.
Great. So I'll jump right in. Hopefully, again, thanks everyone for joining in this manner. It is good to see faces. I wish we were all in person, but that said, I guess we'll do the best we can. Thanks to the Chifa team for getting us as prepared as possible for this event. And hopefully I'll look forward to seeing you all at the next meeting or shortly thereafter in person. But that said, the materials were sent out via email last Thursday, April 9th. And then obviously follow-up materials were sent this morning. So hopefully you have those. The main purpose of today's meeting is to go through the benefits and compensation review that was done and that we talked about it at our last Human Resources Committee meeting. And so we'll talk about that a little bit more in depth today. That said, I guess the first item, one last announcement, I think you all probably read this in the materials. As we did through roll call, to the extent that, you jump on the line and speak, please do announce your name and title, if you could, when you speak. I believe, is being recorded and will also be posted on Chifa's website within the next 7 days. If you could do that courtesy, that would be very helpful. With that, I'll jump into minutes. The approval of minutes from the April 24th, 2019 meeting. That was a combined meeting, once again, of the Audit and Finance Committee, as well as the Human Resources Committee. Mark and I both chaired that committee. And in attendance that time, as I recall, included Mark and myself, as I mentioned, Peter, Barbara, and Anne. So at this point, I'm going to ask for approval of the minutes from those folks to the extent that they're on the phone. Do I have a motion for the approval?
This is Peter, and I'll move it.
Thank you, Peter. Do I have a second?
This is Mark. I'll second.
Great. Thank you both. Thanks, Mark. The motion and second is for approval of the minutes. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Great. All those opposed? Any abstentions?
This is Sherry Milhat. I will abstain.
Great. Thanks, Sherry. Great. So I think we have minutes approved at this point. So the next item again is the major item of the meeting. Obviously, you know what we're we met on this item back in March. In March meeting, March's meeting, the committee heard a presentation from the Human Resource Consortium that put together a number of recommendations and next steps in conjunction with staff led by Cynthia Peoples. And so today, what we're going to present to you is the manner in which a lot of these recommendations fold into compensation and benefits budget, which will then be obviously implemented and incorporated into the full operating and capital budget that the Audit and Finance Committee will hear at the May meeting. So we'd like to, in the end, get approval from this committee to essentially take that comp and benefits budget to the full Audit and Finance Committee in May. But with that, I think I'm going to hand it directly over to Cynthia to take us through the recommendation itself.
Excuse me for a second. This is Barbara Rubin. I'm on. Dialed the wrong number.
Hi, Barbara. Thanks for joining.
Hi.
Thank you,
Barbara. Lawrence Davis. This is Lawrence Davis as well.
Hi, Lawrence. Thank you for joining.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Peter. The item number two on the agenda is just the document we provided for information discussing how the authority would respond to what the Human Resource Consortium provided as recommendations to the committee last month. I don't know if anyone has any particular questions on this particular item. What I wanted to highlight is that as we move forward, we hope to continue to work with Human Resource Consortium for some of these initiatives. And we would also expect to employ our strategic teams to implement any of the responses that we need internally. Does anyone want me to address anything specific on the list? The two sections include the responses to the staff satisfaction survey recommendations, as well as the total rewards, comp, and benefits recommendations as well. And we'll cover the comp and benefit recommendations when I do the presentation for the human resource budget next. So if there are no questions, please, you know, receive this information as it stands, and we'll keep you updated on our progress as we move along with the process. The next item is the presentation. of the human resource budget. So again, as I mentioned, I talk about the compensation study recommendations that we had. And these obviously are going to drive and shape the budgeting that we do going forward. So part of it was to develop the salary administration guidelines. And we spoke about this being a total rewards program or a philosophy. So salaries, benefits, rewards, recognition, and well-being would all be wrapped up into the guidelines that are created. And they're grounded in our strategic pillars and our values. They speak to being market competitive and how salaries are determined, internal and external equity, as well as how our salary increases would be determined. And in the second bullet, the formalized structure would be a part of those guidelines, speaking to the grades and the ranges that were recommended by the Human Resource Consortium. And talking also about promotions and eligibility that, inside of the document as well. The last one is aligned pay to performance. And that, of course, has to do with formalizing our, modifying and updating our performance evaluation process. So we also relied on the Human Resource Consortium to provide us some market insight for our budgeting process. And so the World at Work had a flash survey at the end of March that indicated that 57% of employers plan to give out salary increases, but 20% have also canceled increases for this year, obviously because of what's going on in the environment. So with the contraction and the oversupply of the labor market, confirmed by the unemployment claims as well, they projected salary increases for 2020 to be between 2 and 2.5%. So the 2% is worst case scenario, and the 2.5% being an optimistic view of what we could potentially provide for the salary increases in the budget for fiscal 2020. And additionally, they indicated that they expected the movement to be slow at best this year. So all of that taken into consideration, we put together our proposal in response to what's happening with the public health and the economy right now with COVID-19, along with the market insight from HRC. Our proposal is to have any increases that we provide to be slated for January 1st of 2021. So normally we provide our increases on July 1 of each year. So we're anticipating postponing that until 2021. We're looking at a 2.2% annualized pool for those increases. And in fiscal 2021, the impact would be just the 6 months. So there's no retroactive pay back to July 1st of 2020 when we provide any increases in January of 2021. And we expect to continue to monitor this to see whether the economy responds and whether the public health crisis dies down and whether or not we still find that it's feasible to do so in January of 2021. As always, our compensation increases are based on merit, and now they'll be based also on the position in your salary grade. And we continue to hold a discretionary one-time award pool of $15,000 with no more than $5,000 for any individual. So I'll stop there in case anyone has any questions.
What was the position that was eliminated that resulted in a reduction in the total comp budget compared to prior years?
Well, there were a variety of factors. I will speak to them throughout in the presentation today, but we did have one retirement and that position was not replaced. So the responsibilities that one person were spread amongst other staff members.
Oh, okay. All right.
So just a quick budget overview, a table for visual effect. So the budget increase percent is based on current actual salaries at the time of budget. I know people are inclined to want to do the math when they see the numbers lined up next to each other, but it's our current actual salaries at the time that we're doing the budget. Clearly, the budget dollars are based on not just salaries, but temp salaries or anything else that might be in there for the year. But this is based on the individuals that we're budgeting for. So in this case, for this year, it's 18 individuals, their actual salaries at this time, and then it's a 2.2% increase annualized over that. So looking back at the prior years, it's relatively in line. Last year, we were able to give a little bit more as the, you know, as the economy was rebounding. But if you take note that the budget dollars for proposed for fiscal year 2021 really are only about $30,000 over that which was proposed back in fiscal year 2017 when we had 19 employees at that time.
Jeanette, this is Peter. Cynthia, in response to Barbara, said one of the reasons going from 19 employees down to 18 was because of the a retirement that hasn't been filled. Are there any plans to fill that position, or have all those responsibilities kind of been you know, dispersed among other existing employees? And do you expect a year from now to be at 18 employees and not back up to 19?
I can still respond to that. Oh, Jeanette, do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, go ahead.
So as I mentioned, that person retired. So that was the one head that we're reduced by. And that person's responsibilities have been spread amongst about three or four other people in the office.
Okay. So the plan for fiscal 21 is to have 18 employees and not back up to 19?
To stay at 18 employees at this time.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So again, this is just another view of the compensation since 2017. Our budget has been higher than our actual each of those years, but a lot of that has to do with, you know, open positions for a period of time before we replace them. In 18, that was the case. From July to November, we had an open position. There were a couple of disability claims. In 2019, we were at 97% of our budget. We had two positions turnover, and again, there were disability claims. And then for the projected actual this year, we're about at about 94% of what we budgeted. And again, we had the one headcount retire, and we had two position turnovers as well. And we also had disability claims. So that is the primary reason for why we, you know, don't make it up to our budget numbers at that, you know, each year. I'm going to stop again and see if there's any questions on that as I move on to benefits. This is relatively the end of the presentation, so I just want to make sure that people are clear on and have any, you know, have I can clear up any questions anyone has at this time.
No, I'm good.
Okay. All right, so as far as employee benefits budget is concerned, we rely on a consultant out of Brown & Brown of Connecticut to provide us with the budget assumptions that we should be using. So with our medical insurance premiums, they provided a 12 to 15% increase. And of course, we're budgeting the worst case scenario here. And then also an increase in our insurance plan deductibles. So right now we have like a $2,800, $5,600 medical plan. And as we were reviewing plans last December, we recognized that a lot of the 2,800 plans would be going by the wayside. So we budgeted at a 3,500 plan level. And then with the disability insurance premiums and in life insurance premiums, we went to a 5% increase, which is usually a standard increase each year. And for dental insurance premiums, it was an 8% increase. But of note, we also changed the co-share at the beginning of this year, calendar year, from 1% to 5% for employees, because of the increases that we experienced coming into 2020 for dental plans. And then workman's compensation, that of course is based on your employee classifications, and it's the prior year when you're being billed for the current year. So it's experience from, you know, a year or two ago that's lagging. So the assumptions resulted in about a 20% increase over the fiscal year 2020 projected actual for medical. And that is due to the turnover. So you know, as an example, you may have had a family on the medical plan before with an employee, but then your new employee replaces only one person. And then there's gaps between the replacements and the enrollments that we have. So that same example, you may have had a family before and now you only have, you know, a single person that's on the plan. It's relatively flat from budget to budget, budget year to budget year for medical premiums, but in this case it is from projected actual to current year, it will be about a 20% increase. So disability and life insurance, the increase is there, 5% over fiscal year budget 20, and 8%, or that's a decrease, 5% from 2020, and an increase over the projected actual. Dental insurance increase 8.5 over budget, and decrease, and then an increase of 2.8 over projected actual. And then workers' comp, again, is an increase of about 16% over fiscal year 2020 budget and a decrease of about 7% over our projected actual.
Hi, Cynthia, it's Mike Angelini. Just a question about benefits. I appreciate you putting in the co-share amount and the dental insurance. Can you talk a little bit about employees' share of premiums on just in general on all these items, and maybe how that compares with, or what, you know, the human resource consortium's you know, thoughts are about how that compares with market for our employees?
Right. So we have a there's a co-share amount, obviously, on the medical insurance, and a co-share, well, not a co-share amount, but there is an actual benefit that we provide employees for their HSA. So it's about 75%, 25% co-share on the deductible amount for their HSA. And then as well, if you're single, it is, oh, I always forget the single, I believe it's 85% and 20, and then for the employee, and then 75% for a family. And I believe the HRC did not have any concerns about the premium level co-shares that we had for those policies. I think the only competitive advantage that they thought we had with benefits was related to the pension plan.
Yeah, very good, thank you.
So the final slide here is about just showing a visual of benefit as a percent of compensation. And with the estimated benefits, we're at 33.4%. And the thing to note here is that until we're able to negotiate what the actual contracts will look like, hopefully that 33.4% will actually drop, as it has in prior years as well. As we actually select our dental and our medical plans that we're going with, we hope to come in under that number as a percent of compensation. So I did want to note, on the exhibit one that was provided for the budget, it's the pro forma for the human resource budget. And the projected actual, we did, according to the crisis initiatives that you'll hear about during the regular board meeting, we did speak to, well, we did change the administrative fees in our revenues in response to that. So revenues were down, as opposed to us having a flat number going across for budget to projected actual. And then in the budget for this year, we've kept it flat, but we wanted to make sure that you noted the changes with the projected actual that were in there. The number for revenues is decreased based on that initiative, just so you're aware. And then the bottom line with these compensation numbers included, change in net position, of course, is pro forma. The expenses and revenues have not been changed. Ends with us being at about $932,000.
Cynthia, is it possible for that that exhibit up on the screen so we can just reference it as you're talking us through it?
Unfortunately, I was having some issues trying to log in on the Chief of Network, and I had to download very quickly what I could locally so that I could provide the presentation to you, and I did not download that document.
Okay.
On hand from the directory that they can pull up, and we can switch presenters.
I mean, I'm looking at it myself on my phone, but I just thought it might be helpful as you're talking it through for everybody to see it.
I'm a little confused by this initiative you're talking about. Could you explain again why the fees would go down?
I'm sorry.
So, Barbara, it's Jeanette. Yeah, this is something we're going to cover in the board meeting, and it's just displayed here as a pro forma number. None, you know, that the budget, the full budget approval is not until May, but one of the proposals that's described in the board package, and it would not be subject to board approval until the May meeting. It's just being included now as a sort of an informational item, is that we are looking at the feasibility of waiving 3 months of fees for our clients and delaying the billing on an additional 3 months of fees.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So this is just the pro, Cynthia just set up, and Joanne set up the projected actual to just reflect what the chief of fees would look like if we waived 3 months worth of chief of fees. But again, that proposal, while it's being talked about briefly at today's board meeting, will be presented formally, if that's where we go, next month.
But that's for the 2021 budget, correct?
Because no, the impact on the chief of fees is in fiscal 2020 projected actual.
Okay. Got it. I saw that number, and I was thinking the fee was for the next fiscal year, for this fiscal year. Yeah.
Right.
Sorry.
Nope, that's okay.
And thank you, Mike, for putting that up there that quickly. Sorry for the technical difficulties. So I don't know if anyone has any questions about any of the presentation or the numbers that we're projecting for compensation and benefits.
This is Peter. First of all, Mike, thanks for putting this up, because that's exactly what I was looking for. It was pretty small on my phone, so thank you. So Cynthia, I do have one question on the medical, the premiums. I understand that we look to the consultant to provide, you know, an estimate or something to plug into the budget, and maybe others are better qualified to look at this than, well, I'm sure others are more qualified than me, but my sense is from talking to other folks that medical insurance premiums are kind of moderating a bit after many years of pretty significant increases. I mean, how are you feeling about this 15% increase number in the budget?
Well, I'm pretty confident at using the outside number for the percentage increases, and that's primarily based on what we were presented last December. There was a stark difference between the plan that we're on and then the plans that we were seeing as options for us to actually migrate to if we were to change. Luckily, we were able to stay with the current plan. There were some moderate increases in the premiums, but going forward, like I said, I anticipate that the plan that we're in, and we've seen this happen before, where the deductibles that we're currently using when it was 2,500 or even lower, you know, those phase out. And so the 2,800s we were anticipating would phase out as far as deductibles are concerned. And then the premium goes up from there. We're hopeful that it might remain flat, but we do know that we will have some impact, at least on the potentially on the deductible side, based on the experience that we saw from this past year.
Okay. Thank you.
Cynthia, it's Mark Verholak. On the pro forma, I understand, why you hold all the other expense items flat to last year's budget, but I'm sure you must have some indication, even though it's not going to be presented until next month. Do you expect any drastic changes in any of those other items that would cause us to see a drastically different bottom line for the 2021 budget?
Let me take a quick look. Probably, I mean, some of the increase may come in operating expenses. That might be in the key area, or perhaps in maintenance contracts. As you move to most of the software platforms that move to online cloud delivery, you're paying annual subscriptions for them, and I would expect that there may be some definite increases in those areas as we continue to migrate some of those offerings to the cloud. But otherwise, I mean, outside services have remained high based on some of the needs we've had for, you know, requesting services via RFP. That's probably where I would see most of the changes, I believe.
Okay. And then in regards to the 2.2% and the statistics you provided from the Human Resource Consortium, were those statistics about 57% are planning to give some increase and 20% are not. Was that for a specific industry or was that just across the board, all different types of businesses?
No, so it was national and it was also in Connecticut. The study that they did perform for us, we had determined that our base was 65% financial markets and 35% government. So looking at both of those markets as a, you know, a composition for us and taking a look nationally as well as locally, that's where they based the 2 to 2.5% increase from.
Okay, that's great. That's very helpful. And then I guess, you know, the reason that caught my eye, the industry I'm in, that it's very different numbers right now. So I get, you know, can't necessarily apply one to the other, but any concerns about that in comparison to what the state may be doing or other information from other governmental entities? I don't think the 2.2 is out of line, but I think you should just be prepared to answer those questions when there are many that are not only, and maybe, as you said, maybe not in the financial markets and maybe not in governmental entities, but they're not only freezing pay for next year, but also, you know, there's pay cuts and things like that going on.
Right. And that, again, is one of the reasons why we are proposing to postpone any increases until 2021 and then continue to monitor that throughout the year to see if it actually will be feasible to do so at that time.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Cynthia, it's Peter one more time. What goes into the outside services again? I'm sorry if you've already said that, but what goes into that line?
People like HRC, okay. some of our legal counsel, I think, hits in there, but it's primarily for the contractual services that we'll have with for consultants.
Okay, it's just that the budgeted number for next year is the exact same as what we budgeted in 20.
Yet those remain flat.
Right, but the actual looks like it's going to be significantly less than what we budgeted. So I'm just wondering why we're budgeting significantly more than what we look like we needed this year.
Well, again, that budget for 2021 has not been determined yet, and then some payments may not have gone out yet for some of these. The projected actual does project that we will spend some of it, but it doesn't account for some of the RFPs that may not have gone out or that type of thing as well. So depending on timing, we're budgeting for some specific services that, you know, may or may not happen as well. We anticipate they will and hope that they will, but then timing sometimes puts them off to another year instead. But those will be better numbers when we bring this back to the Audit Finance Committee in May.
Okay. All right.
Great. Any other questions? Sorry, Peter.
No, I'm just trying to. So, Cynthia, so for purposes of this meeting, then, are you looking for approval from this committee to use these working assumptions and numbers to plug into the overall budget that'll come to the Finance Committee next month? Is that you're
so,
looking for approval on that?
Exactly. It. The compensation and benefit numbers we'd like to plug into the overall operating budget that we'll bring next month. And we seek your approval for that today.
Okay.
Do you want a motion to that effect?
Great, thank you. Thank you, Barbara. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Okay. It's Peter, I'll second it.
Okay.
We've got a second from Peter and or Mark, it sounds like. So motion on the table is to approve the compensation and benefits budget, which will be incorporated and then presented in whole as part of the operating and capital budget to the Audit and Finance Committee in May. So right now, this is just approval for that compensation and benefits portion. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Great. Thank you all.
Thank you.
And with that, I think the Human Resources and Audit Finance Committee meeting is complete. Do I have any other comments or questions before I ask for a motion for adjournment?
Mike, it's Peter. I guess the only question or clarification, when we come to the full board meeting, will you be able to speak to the actions we took here just for the full board
yes.
And just give a quick review?
Yes, I will do that. Thank you.
Great. Yeah. So I'll move for adjournment.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Great. Thanks very much. I think we're adjourned.
All right. See everyone at 1:30.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you.